It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis now at 10 p.m. right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com and on the 77 WABC app. This show, Mind Your Business on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, leadership, strategic planning, investments, retail, entrepreneurship, financial planning, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, thank you. And to the great team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a great support role, in particular, Rena, Srilly, Ellie, Miriam, Dina, thank you very much. And to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. And to the many channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column, has already featured a number of episodes. The interview we had with John Scully most recently. Well, actually, Yossi Hever was most recently. And then before that, John Scully. We also had, they also featured David Colby, Christine Comerford, and all subscribers to Mishpacha Magazine are treated to that monthly column. We're also on C-Suite Radio, Audio Boom, iTunes. We have a YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. It's on YouTube. There are probably 25 already videos up there with incredible content for anyone that wants to get ahead in today's business world. And we're on C-Suite TV. And of course, as I mention all the time, all episodes are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. The wealth of information is all there, and it's free. It's also easy to follow me on the various social media channels. LinkedIn, Yitzhak Saflis. Twitter is Y Saflis. Facebook, Yitzhak Saflis. And the YouTube videos, as mentioned, that's the Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis channel that has all the video episodes from the great shows that we had here on this program. Tonight's show is a very special edition. It's called Closing the Deal. Sales, sales, sales. Recently, as those that listened to the show last week, it was a great show that was recorded at the Small Business Expo. And the number one piece of feedback that we've constantly received in general and from the show was tips on sales. That was the takeaway I got. Just give me advice on selling. How do I sell better, more? How can I be more proactive without annoying a prospective client? How do I enhance my lead generation? What are the best techniques? So we went back and said, hey, we have such great content from the Mind Your Business previous shows that we've done. We're going to feature four incredible, the top parts of four previous shows that we've had with sales. It's going to be, and the order actually is going to be, we're going to open up with Ron Carr, who actually wrote the book Lead, Sell, or Get Out of the Way, The Seven Traits of Great Sellers. Then after that, we're going to feature Greg Williams, Body Language Secrets to Win More Negotiations. After that, we're going to have Adam Lieberman, a sales trainer of renowned fame. And after that, Mitch Axelrod, who wrote The New Game of Selling. So this is a special edition. And in fact, we're going to our giveaway this evening is going to be the book by Shep Hyken, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. And that's, of course, has to do with selling and customer retention. His book, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. And he would know. Shep Hyken is the chief amazement officer at his company, the Hyken Communications and Productions. He speaks all over the world. A renowned speaker. I've seen him present. Really incredible presenter. His book can be yours. One lucky winner is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is send a text to 64600 and put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. It's that simple. 64600, put in the letters MYB, and this book can be yours. So before we go to a commercial break, just want to remind you, the first guest that we're going to have coming up is Ron Carr. Stay tuned.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com, that is C-SUITE network.com, to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-Suite executives like you. With us live in studio, we have none other than Ron Carr, sales and leadership expert. In fact, we're going to get to this. He was ranked fifth out of 25 speakers to look out for in 2016 by Meetings and Convention magazine. He's also the author of a best-selling book on sales, Lead, Sell, or Get Out of the Way. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Ron Carr.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here, and I couldn't wait to be here after I met you in San Francisco.
That's very nice. And again, that was at C-Suite. Well, Ron, we're jumping into this. We just couldn't wait to have you. So now, could we do that skit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we have Pesach, and we have you. Pesach is going to be our salesperson.
Should I be scared?
No. I'm going to do the hard work.
Okay. Fair enough.
All you have to do is just be yourself.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And something tells me you're going to do a really good job here.
Okay, good.
All right? If there was an audience here, I'd say give them a big standing ovation. Okay, so pretend
we're
standing.
We're in the studio.
And they're clapping for you. All right, so let's suppose that you own you work in a high-end men's store. Is that fair?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
And you've been in some of those stores, right?
Yeah.
And you've probably been staggered by some of the prices, right?
Yep.
You know, ties can go like $200, $300, $400, right? Let's suppose that Isaac is coming in and, he's just walking around and you want to make him a sale because you get some commission on it. You know, you need to pay your dinner that night.
Okay, so
let's just see what happens.
So I'm the sales guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's just see how you approach him and what happens. And forget what I just said a minute ago. You know, let's just see how you normally would do it.
Okay. Hi, can I help you with something?
Yeah, I'm looking for a nice tie.
Okay, so let me show you what we have. This, you know, really new stuff that came in this past week. Really exciting, fresh, new looks that can, you know, really, make, you know, a great first impression.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to stop.
Oh, okay.
All right, now I can see body language, okay?
Okay.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right? And you're listening to him, right?
Yeah.
Is your cortisol up?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what the price is yet.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to like what he's showing me.
Okay.
And he's selling to me.
Okay. Was it about him or about you?
His
conversation with you.
He's looking to make a sale.
Right. And so on a scale of 0 to 10... 10 meaning you're so engaged with him and you can't wait to do something, with 0 is you just want to get out of the store. Where are you?
2-3. 2-3?
Okay. Yeah. Good. So now we're going to ratchet it up, all right? So I just need to take our headphones off real quickly and whisper something to Pesach. All
okay.
right, so we're going to do the same scenario, starting from scratch.
Okay, ready.
Here we go.
Hi, how can I help you?
I'm here browsing for a tie.
Okay, would you be able to share with me the 3 things you're looking to make on a first impression?
Yeah, I want the tie to be sharp, Looking, you know, medium price, not looking to spend more than 50 to 75 on the tie. But should be sharp and should go well with my suit.
All right, stop. You weren't looking at him, but I was. The entire answer, his eyes, and the audience can't see it, so I'll describe it.
Okay.
The entire answer was his eyes were looking upwards.
Wow.
Okay. And what happened, now, when he said, hi, you know, can I help you? You had the same reaction.
Okay.
But the moment he asked you, what are the three things you want to tie the perception to give off to other people, something happened in your brain that at that moment. What happened?
And I got engaged.
And what happened? Something switched. The cortisol all of a sudden came down?
I don't have the dashboard of my brain.
Did the stress come down?
Yeah, I was engaged. I wanted to schmooze with him.
So you wanted to talk, right?
Yeah.
And you became creative. You started engaging.
Yeah, I started thinking about it. I wanted to go with my suit.
You started dreaming about what was important to you, where you wanted to go.
Yes, the second conversation had that, yeah.
And there was no room for cortisol. It was all dopamine.
I guess, yeah.
Right? Now, in the first conversation, it was all about what he wanted to sell you, right?
Yes.
In the second conversation, did he ever mention to you anything about a tie?
No, not at all.
Right?
Right.
No.
He just asked one question, right? By the second conversation, did you feel he was first conversation or second, which one did you feel he was a trusted advisor?
Second.
Okay. First or second conversation, which one do you think he was of more value to you, first or second?
Second.
First or second, which one are you probably going to buy from him?
Second.
Okay. And notice in the same amount of time how much more significant information he got out of you.
Wow.
In just the first 15 seconds, right?
Right, right.
So now, scale 0 to 10, where are you?
I don't know the pricing yet, but right. I'm certainly by an 8.
Well, pricing is always last anyway, right?
That's true.
And if it was even higher price, but he's talking about where you want to go, and he's going to make you look like $1 million.
Yeah, I would spend
you
more.
You find a way to buy the tie.
Yes.
See, most people leave with the price. That's the biggest problem. All right, so now you're up to an 8 or a 9, right?
Yeah.
Amazing how one question can shift how people. Now, there's some techniques about that question. Before I get there, let's talk to Pesach for a second.
Yeah.
Welcome to the interview.
Okay.
So, Pesach, how did you feel the first time?
So, the first time I felt like I was a bigger expert because I was kind of saying about what we have new, what's
right.
in, what's what will look good on Yitzchak.
Right.
And the second, okay, that's the first one. The second one, I felt like I was listening. And then I would be able to craft a better response because I listened first.
Right. So did you feel more powerful first or second?
Second.
Did you feel...
You felt more powerful second?
Because, meaning I didn't have a chance to then answer, but after I had the knowledge, I felt more powerful.
He's more powerful because most people, it's a great question you asked, Yitzhak. Most people think that they're sounding more powerful when they're talking. That's your least powerful position. You're in a more powerful position when you're listening because you're getting the information that's important so that you can present in context, right? So, stressed, high or lower, first or second? Stress was high?
Stress was high in the first...
Or second? Which was higher?
Stress. I don't know.
Could that also depend on the person?
Well, yeah. Most of the time people say the first time because they're trying to hopefully say something that gets their
right,
attention.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's kind of the way I felt a little bit.
Okay. Last one. Or two more. More in control, first or second?
Second.
More confident, first or second?
Well, I started more confident in the first, but then had I known the second, I probably would have. I would feel more confident responding after the second.
So which one made you more comfortable?
Ultimately, the second.
The second, yeah. So it increases our confidence, too, because people, you know, how can you guess? Like playing at a genie, you know, on a Ouija board, you know. How do you guess what you're going to say? And many times when people start, I call it puke. You know, people who utter knowledge about everything. It's disgusting, okay? So they start telling you all the things about why you should buy something. And I'll never forget, you know, I do some coaching, too. And many, many years ago, this woman who creates designs for fashion on 7th Avenue came to my office in New Jersey, and she bought this big portfolio, and she said, I need to help you increase my sales. I said, well, show me how you do it. And she puts this portfolio on the floor, and she starts going through it. Design number one does this, number two, number three. By the time she got to the eighth design, I yelled, stop! And all of a sudden, she looked at me horrified. She goes, what's wrong? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If the first seven designs didn't speak to me, do you have my attention in the eighth? She goes, no. I said, why don't you ask me where I'm going as a manufacturer? And when you have that information, then go to the one, two, or three designs that speak to that, and you'll have a much better conversation. You see, in the sales process, we need two things. We need time, and we need attention. Now, if I'm meeting with you, I have your time, but I don't have your attention. I got to engage your mind away from what you're thinking and other things. I got to bring you into the conversation actively so you engage, and I have to have you think about what's important to you and the solutions you're trying to solve so that you'll be in a position to hear from me. I have to create the environment for you to want to play ball with me, and I have to make it safe for you. I have to lower your cortisol, increase your dopamine. That's what we just did here.
Wow.
You touched on voicemail before.
Yes.
How can a salesperson leave a good quality voicemail message that will get a call back?
Okay, can we do another role play here?
Okay.
I'm always
listening. Okay, we're in.
I think it's interactive. People get out of it, okay?
Okay.
So let's pretend you're trying to get a hold of Yitzhak and you get his voicemail. What kind of voicemail would you meet, okay?
Any particular...
What are you selling? You're selling
the time. Selling something?
Yeah. Let's say you're a car dealer and you want to get him on the phone.
Hi, Yitzhak. We're... here at
ABC Car Dealership.
ABC Car Dealership, we're offering a special fall promotion. It's going on now. Please call me back at your earliest convenience. I think we really have some exciting.
Great. Scale. Are you listening at this point?
No.
Did you hang up on him? Because most people may hang up because we get 10 calls and we don't have time to listen to it.
Yeah. This
All right. So the first, you pronounce your name, right?
Pesach.
Yeah. That was what you said, right?
Yeah.
Was that self-focus or customer focus?
Self-focus, okay. Probably.
Then you said who you worked for, right?
Right.
Self-focus or customer focus?
Self-focus.
Then he's talking about some deals you had, right?
Okay.
Self-focus or customer focus?
At that point, customer focus.
No, it's still about your deals.
Oh, my deals. But I okay.
All right. And probably towards the last thing. What was the last thing you said when I cut?
With special, I don't remember. Cars, you really love or whatever, deals going, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, all self-focus, right? All right, so what do you pride yourself in as a dealer? Make it up.
Finding really good deals on expensive cars.
All right, and a car is a driving experience, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we can sit there. What if you just said, hey, Yitzhak, this is your own car. I just want to talk to you about some innovative ways that we can get you into your next driving experience. Can you give me a call?
If I'm in the market for a car, I'm certainly calling you.
Right. I mean, and you got to qualify.
Right. Got to qualify.
Okay.
Right.
So let me share with you how we did this with a big company. I was hired by a big medical company, medical imaging company, and they're going from film to filmless.
All right.
Big expensive transformation of hospitals. Okay. Amount of money they spent on me, and we succeeded with them. And one of the regional managers was trying to – she had a return call rate on her voicemail messages. And this is a good rep of maybe 10%. Now, if you look at all the stakeholders who have to be involved in the decision, it's the admins, it's the docs, but it's also the radiologists. So her voicemail to the radiologist would be, hey, this is so-and-so from so-and-so. Please give me a call. I want to talk to you about X. No one would call her back. So she changed the voicemail to an outcome based on what I said, and this was her voicemail. She goes, hey, it's so-and-so from X. I want to talk to you about how you can stop being woken up by the docs in the middle of the night because of lost x-rays. Give me a call. Wow. Her return phone call rate went to 60%.
Wow. 6-0.
All right? Because she talked about something immediately that she knew.
Connects to them.
That connected to them. And they called her back and said, now how are you going to reduce that? And then remember, the whole call, here's why we all talk about everything we talk about up front. We're trying to make the sale. When you're calling to someone for an appointment or leaving a voicemail, you're not making the sale. That's not what you're trying to do. The goal is get them to call you back. That's it.
What's the single biggest mistake salespeople make?
They talk too much.
Well, Ron, in the remaining minute that we have, what's a takeaway that you could share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
I think that we have to stop looking at ourselves as entrepreneurs and salespeople and... we're masters of influence. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe in your product or service. You have to believe that what you put on this earth is really to make an impact in people, and you have the passion to doing it. If you're just out trying to have a conversation to convince somebody to do something, it's not powerful. But when you believe in what you do, and you speak from your heart, and you're out there and helping people succeed, that's what it's about. And that's when you get your biggest joy. So, you know, I end my speeches with my daughter hitting a home run. I show a video and I say, you know, you probably want me to help wish that each of you hit your home runs. No, that's not what I want to wish. What I want you to do is dedicate yourselves to helping your customers hit their home runs. Because when you do that, your home runs will turn into grand slams.
And that was Ron Carr, also a guest appearance by Pesach Tropper. Thank you. He wrote the book Lead, Sell, or Get Out of the Way. He's certainly someone that knows a thing or two about selling. And that's why we featured Ron Carr on the Closing the Deal, Sale, Sale, Sale special edition of Mind Your Business. I want to remind everyone that we're giving away an amazing book, no pun intended. It's called Amaze Every Customer Every Time by Shep Hyken. That book can be yours, an autographed hardcover copy. Can be yours. One lucky winner is going to get it. All you have to do is send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. That simple. Again, send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB. And one lucky winner is going to win an autographed copy of Amaze Every Customer Every Time. After the break, we're going to pick up and continue with the interview we had with Greg Williams. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807 extension 3505 or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500 seniors. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And my guest now is Greg Williams. Greg, how are you today?
I'm alive. I'm A-okay. That's what they always
say. Isn't that great?
Exactly.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
State of mind.
Alive and breathe. That's correct.
Uh-huh.
You came out with a new book here, Body Language Secrets to Win More Negotiations. Now, this is also an incredible topic that needs to be told, and the listeners of small, medium, and large businesses as mm-hmm. well need to know about. Tell us about it. Body Language Secrets. Why is that so important?
Well, for one thing, everyone is always negotiating, which is what my model is. And that means what you do today impacts the outcomes that you'll have the opportunity to
so
experience
true.
Tomorrow.
How many people really get that?
Well, that's questionable for
yeah.
sure. But
not
to worry. There are times when you can pick up on body language signals, even per the question you just asked as to how many people get that based on the gestures that they emit
so
when you pose
so
a question to them. So hypothetically, you say, how many people get that? And if I was to pose that question to someone that was literally in front of me mm-hmm. and I saw that they took a step right. back or whatever be the case, that would give me an idea that they were trying to get further away from the
right.
question.
Right.
So when it comes to body language, you can get inside clues to the way someone is thinking at that particular point in time. During the negotiation process, it's also important to understand how someone is interpreting either an offer or a concession that you've requested from them, such that you know, even if they say, okay, you know, that little took them to reflect on it gives you insight too.
Correct. Now, let's talk about some secrets that you ready to share.
Okay.
You walk in, you're looking to do that big $25,000 deal, $25 million, whatever it is. You're walking into the room. What are those tips that you could share when you're going in and looking to do that big deal? That these are musts. You got to practice. You got to have them wired in order to be successful.
Well, for one thing, prior to even entering the room, you should have done some background information on the individuals that will be in the room that you'll be negotiating with or against, dependent upon the way you wish to frame the interview.
Right.
Okay, so having that insight about those individuals, the way they think, how have they cooperated with one another and or others that they've negotiated with in the past becomes information that you have in your repertoire.
Great.
Such that you then go in with a mindset. Okay, you walk into the room. Good negotiators will not necessarily disclose that they have a particular role in the negotiation to the degree that holding that information from the opposing team would give that opposing team insight and information as to who the real leaders are. Mm-hmm. And thus, one way to discern such via reading body language is posing a question to one individual and watch what that individual does with the question. Does that individual look away to the person on his or her right? Does that individual take a moment, think, and then respond? All of those are thought gestures, and you even get greater insight per to what degree the other team has planned the course that they're going to implement per the negotiation.
Now, when someone responds that way, let's talk about the one that you ask the question, and then they pause, think, and then respond. Do you have a way of sharing with the audience? Does that telling of how the individual interacts, or perhaps how they're protecting information in the negotiation?
Well, when it comes to reading body language, number one, you need to first establish a foundation that is normal. That's to say how a person would act in a normal environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pose a question and all of a sudden, let's say that individual happens to be speaking at a particular pace or
right.
something of that nature.
Right.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, the individual slows the pace of speech down. You then gain insight into the verbal, nonverbal aspect of the person being reflective per what it is that you're he's thinking and what it is that you have posed to cause him to think that way. Now, here's the other thing. I mm-hmm. spoke a moment ago about always establishing the foundation
yes.
by which someone emits body language signals.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to be very astutely aware of the fact that people change their perspective from time to time, and thus you have to be aware of the stimulus that you used that caused them to change whatever their perspective was via the body language that they emitted prior to that stimulus. We always have opportunities. We have but to look at such as such to recognize opportunities
when
they present themselves.
Great point. Mm-hmm. Now, Greg, you have so much wisdom to share. What would be a final takeaway on the subject of body language secrets that you could share with the audience?
Well, first of all, we are much more intuitive than we realize. Thus, there are times when we get a kinesthetic feeling. You know
mm-hmm.
what? I felt a certain way about that. That's a sign that something intuitively has tried to come from your subliminal to your conscious state of mind. Pay attention to that because you have sensed something as the result of that stimuli hitting you. And as such, you may have seen a body language gesture. Someone wiped the sweat from their brow or
right.
something of that nature,
right.
which said, hey, I'm a little anxious
nervous,
right now.
Nervous, anxious.
Exactly. And there are two aspects to always keep in mind about discerning body language, reading body language.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the body is always seeking states of comfort, and it will display when it is in a state of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, a baby cannot speak. But it can let you know when maybe its diaper is soiled simply by crying. It's stating that it's in a state of discomfort at that particular point in time.
Now, it's a great takeaway, and I know I'm going technically against the rules because I said we're done, but I must ask you this question. I'm sure you've been asked it a million times, mm-hmm. but we're now on the air. Social media.
Okay.
Has it killed the way people interact with each other, or there's hope for mankind?
Well, I'm an overly optimistic person, first of all. So I say, hey, as we go through life, we grow through life, and thus we have to embrace the lives that we are living in the time frame that we're doing so. And thus social media is causing us to have a different perspective per the way we interact with people, not good or bad. We can make it as such based on how we first perceive it, then how we turn around and choose to act and react in such environments.
Great point. That was great, Greg. I really enjoyed that interview. And that was interviewed actually at a C-Suite Network conference. There's one coming up tomorrow in Dallas, Monday and Tuesday in Dallas. And this previous one was in New York, and that's where I had the opportunity to catch up with Greg. He wrote the book Body Language Secrets to Win More Negotiations. And from this interview, you certainly know why he is qualified to write this book. Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to continue with the interview we had with Adam Lieberman. Stay tuned.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Well, we're going to move to our guest on this Sunday night. In studio with us, we have none other than Adam Lieberman, president of the Lieberman Group. Some background about our distinguished guest. Mr. Lieberman is a nationally renowned sales trainer, executive coach, and business consultant. He helps executives and companies explore the key elements involved in developing an effective and lasting sales team. With that intro, I welcome Adam Lieberman to the studio. Adam, how are you?
Thank you. Very good. Very happy to be here. Thank you.
It's a real honor and a treat. Well, Adam, not sure where to begin because there's so much and the time will go by so fast, but let's jump right in. Whether someone's a sole proprietor or he's running a Fortune 500 company, sales is the lifeblood of any business. I mean, you've been training businesses of all sizes. What's advice you can give when they realize we need a great salesperson? Where did it begin?
Great question. And we hear that all the time in the trainings that we do. People are always looking to expand and grow their sales force. Mm-hmm. Obviously, salespeople is the one aspect of a company that's not an expense. I mean, people want to cut corners in a company or, you know, trim the fat, so to speak. You know, the last person that will be let go is a salesperson. They're the ones actually keeping the lights on and paying the bills. So salespeople, you know, really have a golden ticket in the business world for that reason. And when people ask me, you know, specifically, how do you find a great salesperson? There's a very big misconception that salespeople need to be fast talking and quick on their feet and very personal and outgoing. While some salespeople clearly have those attributes, there are many, many top sales professionals that could be more soft-spoken and could be more low-key, perhaps even an introvert. So they really come in all shapes and sizes. And the bottom line is there's some specific characteristics that every successful salesperson has. Throughout this interview, I'm sure we'll touch on them. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is there is no specific, shape or size or background a person must have to succeed in sales.
Great insight, Adam. Next question is, and this comes up all the time, is there a difference in the approach between selling a product and selling a service?
Ultimately, people buy on three main reasons somebody will buy a product from somebody or a service from somebody. People do business with three reasons with somebody. Either they know them, they like them, or they trust them, and hopefully all three. They should know you, like you, and trust you. And someone gets to know you and trust you and like you, there's a very good chance they're going to purchase something from you because they have a level of comfort. It's not all about the cheapest price. If price was all the people cared about, then every sales guy would be out of a job. People just go online and buy everything, right? So the bottom line is whether it's a product or a service, people want to speak to somebody. They want a human being there, and we'll touch, I'm sure, in terms of the new economy, how that's changed the landscape of salespeople. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you know, a product or a service comes down to the same thing. Obviously, a service, you have to explain more than a product typically, but the bottom line is the buying relationship, the buying that connection, and the buying that ability that they feel they can trust you and they know you and they like you, then you have a great chance of a successful sales encounter.
So on that note, I mean, it's I mean, when someone's making a sales call, let's say, whether it's in person or by phone, should a person connect by emotions or by logic?
Great question. You know, there's an old adage, people say that customers, you know, buy an emotion and they justify it later on every logical reason why it makes sense or doesn't make sense. So typically emotion is a very big hot button, and psychologists have proved this, you know, since the beginning of time that people buy an emotion. But, you know, you said very, very good point when you're on the phone with somebody. It happens so often, and every salespeople can relate to this, or people that aren't in sales can relate to this. Someone could be on the phone with someone speaking to them, and the other person never says a word. And there's no Skype, and there's no ability to see someone through an iPhone. But the fact is, they never say a word that your person is speaking to. And you can literally hear the person either with you or not with you. It's unbelievable. You can speak to somebody on the phone, and for 30 seconds, a minute and a half go by, you speak with them. They don't say a word. But as you're speaking, you literally feel a connection. They're with you or they're not with you. And I prove this point time and time again, because a lot of salespeople will find that success comes in streaks. They'll be successful, you know, in a burst, and then it goes cold for a while, mm-hmm. which means that it was never the prospect, so to speak, that changed. The salesperson changed, because when you feel better, you feel a connection with the prospect.
So, again, this is flowing so fantastic, because my next question is there a particular motivation tip for a salesperson? I'm going to split this question into two. One is, how does a company motivate a sales force, which is really another animal. But then an individual, how could they get themselves into that groove, to get the passion, to get themselves going that their customers will say yes, their prospects will say yes?
You know, going back to how a company motivates a sales team, there's always, you know, the tried and true methods of incentives and contests and things. Sometimes people, which I don't advocate at all and I'm not a fan of at all, sometimes people motivate by fear, you know, that they tell people if they don't hit certain quotas, then, you know, things won't look so exciting for them. But the fact is, there's a lot of ways to motivate a sales team. But the number one way to motivate a sales team, if you're the owner of a company, mm-hmm. you've got to give people a reason to believe in what they're doing. It can't just be a job. See, a salesperson, you know, you always see this all the time, that a top salesperson could be at IBM and then be same person, could leave IBM, be a top sales guy at General Motors, then be a top sales guy at Coca-Cola. Obviously, cars and computers and soda have nothing to do with each other. Why could a top salesperson go from industry to industry? Because mm-hmm. the fact is, sales is 99% sales, 1% is the product. And if someone's talented in sales, they can very quickly learn the product, they can be around, which means the salesperson's always in demand. So a company has to recognize, to keep a salesperson motivated and happy, you know, you got to really remember, they have to have a product they believe in. The single most important sale you'll ever make will be to yourself. Do you believe in the product? So a sales company, you know, needs to make sure that the company that they're presenting to the salespeople, something that they truly believe, is something that warrants someone being there for a career, not for a job. In terms of second point you mentioned, in terms of a salesperson, how to keep their head in the game, so to speak, you know, it's about being a professional, being an amateur. You know, I deal with salespeople all over the country, and there are people that have been in sales for 20 years that sadly are still an amateur. People have been in sales for a week and are professional. And here's the difference. You know, to give the analogy, if you go to a Broadway play or you go to see, you know, somebody in concert, you know, they may have done that performance literally hundreds, if not thousands of times. And people say all the time, they went to a Broadway play. The play could have been literally, you know, on Broadway for 10, 15 years, same actors doing the same lines day after day, week after week. But when you go there, you spend a lot of money, and you plan this for weeks or months in advance. You want a person's A game. You don't care if they did it 1,000 or 2,000 times beforehand. So a professional has told me this in the past. They are professional for one reason and one reason only. For every single performance, it's opening night. Because for them, it's not opening night, but for you, the audience, opening night. So a salesperson, the reason why successful people succeed in sales, I've been to so many organizations and companies and businesses and sales teams and sales forces, you can never, ever tell if a top sales pro is having a quote-unquote bad day. He's always in a good mood. He's always fired up for one reason only. If you get rejected and you say had a deal, let's say I dealt with a guy in sales and perhaps he had a big commission on the line and he worked hard on the deal and at the last minute the deal didn't work out. Let's make it up. Let's say he lost a $5,000 potential commission. Well, the next person you call, here's a chance to earn a commission. Most amateurs, this is very important, linger on to that thought. We do it in our own lives. We get ahead, start, someday you have a day starts off a certain way and things linger. A pro knows how to cut that off. Because if you don't cut it off, you didn't lose $5,000. You maybe lost $10,000 or $15,000. Right. So a pro is able to know, when I have somebody that doesn't go my way, I'm right back at him. Because my next prospect, he wants opening night. He doesn't care that I just got hung up on.
Call reluctance. Let's talk about call reluctance, right? Every salesperson's nightmare. How does someone deal with call reluctance?
There's a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, it goes back to the same deal breakers before. People don't like to be rejected, although you need to be able to handle rejection. Obviously, no one in their right mind wants to proactively be rejected. There's a couple of tips that I've taught over the years. One thing that was pretty effective is as follows. You know, if people can break down their sales presentations to a number. For example, if they know for every presentation they make, say they make 10 presentations, on average, on balance, they make one sale. So you can make 10 presentations, you're going to make one sale, just to give simple numbers. Mm-hmm. If you know for every sale you make, again, to keep it simple, you're making a $1,000 commission. You make 10 presentations, you get one sale out of 10. On that one sale, you're making a $1,000 commission. Again, round numbers. If you look at it a little differently, you say, you know what? I know that if every presentation I make, I don't know which one's going to buy, maybe number one, maybe six, maybe seven, maybe the 10th guy. But if I know on average I have to present 10 times to get one sale, and that one sale brings me a $1,000 commission, then in effect, for every presentation I'm making, I'm making $100 for the presentation. So what sales pros know is, say, it doesn't matter whether you say yes or no. Of course they want the yes. But they know ultimately my only job is one thing. I've got to give you my opening night performance. Whether you buy or don't buy, it's 1 out of 10. But I know when I complete my presentation, I gave it my opening night, I'm earning $100. Not zero for a no and not $1,000 for a yes. $100. Therefore, my call reluctance changes because I don't care whether you say yes or no, I'm making $100. So therefore, the more I can call, the more $100 I'm making, and that changed the psychology and the attitude of a lot of salespeople.
Adam, is there a best time to make a sales call? Any tricks on that? Is it the morning? Is it the afternoon? Midday? Weekends? Any tricks on that?
The tricks is, listen, you know, obviously if I say it right now, then every salesperson will call during those times, and now and that becomes the best time it's happening right now. But I think what I found is as follows, and you touched on it earlier, that a time is the only commodity, the only asset a salesperson has. So I teach every salesperson one powerful technique. I never waste a phone call. So if you're calling somebody up and you get a receptionist on the phone, or you get the gatekeeper of the executive, and you're not effective in getting the person you want to speak to on the phone, I never waste a phone call. I always ask for the person's name. So if you're calling a company on the phone and the person you want to speak to is not available, before you say thank you, goodbye, I always say thank you so much and what was your name, please? And normally they'll give you the name, and it's very important data. The second thing I ask is most salespeople say, well, if you know Charlie's not in, when can I reach him? So most people will say, as a gatekeeper, a receptionist, or someone that knows a salesperson's calling, they'll say, well, I'm not sure, or just try your luck, or any time's as good as any. So I ask a different question. I said, when is Charlie never available? Because then they'll always tell you, oh, he's never in between this time and this time. Then you just reverse engineer the time that he's actually going to be there.
That's pretty cool.
But then when you get the person's name, which is very important, you call back the next day or the next week. And instead of saying, hi, Charles Smith, please, you say, good morning, Sally. It's Adam Lieberman calling. Charles, please. So you never want to waste that phone call if the person's not in. Get as much data as you can.
Adam, we all know, I don't want to say it's the elephant in the room, but maybe it is to many people. We touched on it earlier. Let's face it. Salespeople have to deal with rejection, right? They're on the phone. They knock on doors. And sometimes the phone gets slammed on them or rejection. We talked about a call. Still, any particular tips and tricks or advice that someone could just pick themselves up and forge ahead?
One thing and one thing only, and you must understand the one adage, and if you can own this, I've seen it time and time and time again, over 25 years of doing this, is one thing. Every time somebody rejects what you're selling, they're not rejecting you. It's not you. Don't take it personally. People just say no. And there's billions of yeses out there. But the only way to get the yes is to literally come back the next phone call like it's opening night. Because the person you're calling is going to be the yes. Let me tell you what. If they hear that you just got rejected in your voice and they hear you're down, that yes now became a no. So the yeses are out there. They're only out there. Remember, you get a yes. I give this story all the time. You know, I knew someone growing up that had a brand new car. And they came home and they said, my gosh, my car is amazing, brand new car. But look what happened. And I look at the car and I see this big dent on the hood. And I go, well, how'd you get the dent? They go, oh, it was at the supermarket. And someone very inconsiderate let their shopping cart glide down and it dented my brand new car on the door. And I couldn't find any ding on the door. I saw this big dent on the hood. I said, how'd the shopping cart flip over onto the hood? They go, no. I was so upset at the ding, I took my fist and I punched the hood. Now, you couldn't see the ding, you only saw the hood. What's the point? That sometimes it's not the first no that gets you down. It's the yes that you blew that really is the issue. Mm. So you keep rejection in perspective. It was one call. Listen, every professional athlete heard it from every coach since they were in the locker room from high school. If they lose a game by big numbers, let's what? It's our next game. It was one loss. If you let the loss fester the game after game, it's a disaster. You've got to cut your losses at the first loss and you go on. And that's the key from an amateur to professional.
Adam, it's an incredible treat to have someone of your stature and some of your background and talent with us on Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. Any final thoughts as we approach the close? Any final thoughts for our audience?
You know, there's always tons of things to say about to have someone increase their sales, why they should enter the sales profession. I believe anyone can be successful in sales. I believe sales is the one occupation out there that will forever be, you know, economy proof. A good salesperson is never out of a job. And they have to, you know, find the most important thing for a salesperson to find a product you believe in. If what you're selling right now, you would not by yourself, we not recommend to your friends and family, you know, perhaps you should find a different product or service to sell, because you must believe in what you're doing is something right now that can benefit people, can help people. If you do that, the sky's the limit.
Adam, always great featuring you. Thank you so much for joining me here on this edition of Mind Your Business, selling, selling, selling. And Adam Lieberman is a superstar at it. I want to remind the audience that our giveaway this evening is the book by Shep Hyken, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. What an amazing book, no pun intended. This book, one lucky winner is going to win this book. All you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. The letters MYB, send it over to 64600. And one lucky winner is going to win an autographed hardcover copy of Amaze Every Customer Every Time. Well, our next guest is going to be Mitch Axelrod on this special edition of Mind Your Business. Stay tuned.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500 seniors. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500 or visit websitewithbrains.com.
My guest now is Mitch Axelrod. I am holding his book, his new book, The New Game of Selling. Mitch, welcome to Mind Your Business.
Pleasure to be with you.
So tell me a little bit about your book. I see here it's an Amazon number one bestseller.
Yep.
60, 70 pages. Looks like packed with insight.
Packed
tell
with
me about
insight.
It.
Well, I'll tell you the story how it came about. I started selling in 1978 in the Garment Center of Manhattan.
Wow.
And I was walking up and down the skyscrapers, actually right outside this door.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I made 5,000 cold calls, and I didn't make one single sale.
Oh, wow.
I was selling something nobody wanted, facsimile machines.
And this is in 78.
1978. Now, here's the funny thing. You couldn't buy one.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, well, this was Exxon Information Systems. I'd walk in with a card that said Exxon. They'd say, we don't need any oil and gas. I wouldn't even get a chance to present my deal. So I made 5,000 cold calls. I didn't make a single sale.
And the this one, is the, a great story.
And the funny thing is, you couldn't buy one. Who are you going to fax to?
Right.
At
yeah,
the
you
time,
need someone on
right,
the other side.
So it was, I think Exxon lost $100 million, and they just disbanded. I made a commitment to myself. I said, this is dumb. I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to learn a different way to sell. Because I knew that all the people I had known at the time who were wealthy, mm-hmm. who were doing well, they were all selling something, a product, a service, an mm-hmm. issue, a cause, an idea. And I said, if I can learn how to sell, I will always be employed. And I am what I call psychologically unemployable. I have never had a job from the day I walked out of college. Now 38, this next month will be 38 years. So I made a promise to myself that if I ever learned really how to do this game, mm-hmm. I would share it with others. And over the past 25 years now, I've trained 1 million people on how to not just sell, but how to sell themselves.
Wow.
How to position themselves and how to be confident in what they do.
Now, you opened with a great story. I must ask you, if you know you're selling the next hottest thing, but whoever you're talking to just can't wrap their head around it, what takeaway did you have going back to 1978?
A couple. First of all, just because you're the number one Fortune 500 company doesn't mean you can sell anything to anybody.
Great point.
All right, that was the first mm-hmm. thing. The second thing is you got to get out of your selling cycle. And I make a point of this in the book.
Mm-hmm.
The buyer doesn't care about your selling cycle. They only care about their buying cycle. So I have a line. It's a line. Fish eat when you're hungry, not when you drop the line. So the whole idea of business, selling, marketing, is to get in front of the people who are ready to buy your product or service mm-hmm. and searching for it right now. And that's really what the new game of selling is all about. It's how to find the hungry fish. And if you can't find hungry fish, then you got to reevaluate your product, your service, your issue, or your cause.
Amazing. Great point. What would you say are, in today's world, 2016, mm-hmm. the three most important takeaways that you would encourage any salesman to make sure that if they're not wired on these three things, they're toast?
Well, the first thing I would say is stop talking and start listening.
Okay.
I became an excellent listener because I trained myself to listen. And, you know, the old story is you have two ears and one
right.
mouth, right?
And use them so proportionately.
The first thing is stop talking and listening, all right? Second thing is qualify your buyers quickly. And I have one sentence that can qualify a buyer in one sentence.
Let me hear.
Are you ready or are you just getting ready? See, the difference between
fair.
A buyer and a browser is four words. A buyer is ready, committed, willing, and able. If you don't fit those four criteria, you're not a buyer. You're a browser. Now, you could be ready, committed, willing, but you're not able.
Now, how many of those needs all... All of those?
Needs all four.
Needs all four.
Right.
Let's say someone's two out of the four.
Well, it depends on which two.
Okay, okay.
If they're ready and committed,
mm-hmm.
but they're not willing and able right now, they could be a client for you in the future, a customer for you
Good
in the
point.
Future.
Good point.
But think about it. If you're not committed, you're not ready, you're not willing to do what you need to do to get what you want, and you're not able.
Then
right.
dot, dot,
right.
dot.
So you get you committed, make... ready, and a yeah. willing. But
right.
here's the killer.
Mm-hmm.
People think money stops buyers, and they do. Often money stops mm-hmm. buyers, mm-hmm. meaning they're not able. But here's the big thing today. It's not just money. It's time. It's bandwidth. We had a client who actually didn't become a client. They wanted to become a client, but they had no bandwidth to integrate our work into their business. So we had to wait 6 months. Then we had to wait six more months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second thing. Third thing is get out of your selling cycle. Get into their buying cycle.
Thank you to Mitch Axelrod. He wrote the book, The New Game of Selling. And a special thank you to all the guests on this edition, starting with Ron Carr, who wrote the book, Lead, Sell, or Get Out of the Way. And then, of course, Greg Williams, who wrote the book, Body Language Secrets to Win More Negotiations. And then Adam Lieberman. And the last one, of course, Mitch Axelrod with The New Game of Selling. On this special edition of Mind Your Business, Closing the Deal, sales, sales, sales. And again, from hearing the feedback from the audience, I realized that this would be of great benefit to the great listeners of Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. Before we go, I want to remind everyone that our giveaway this evening is the book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time by Shep Hyken. 52 tools for delivering the most amazing customer service on the planet. One lucky winner is going to win a hardcover autographed edition of this book by Shep Hyken. All you have to do is send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB. It's that simple. Again, send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. And one lucky winner is going to win this amazing book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. Well, this wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.